In this week, on the 10th of August 2002, a fans-led protest urging supporters not to go through the Selhurst Park turnstiles for the opening game of the season between Wimbledon and Gillingham reduced the attendance to 2,476. On the TV, there was a live feed from Garth Crooks at the ground. He said the football was an irrelevance. The result today was clear. AFC Wimbledon 1, Franchise FC 0. Yes, that's right. We're the originals, the one and only, the Super Dons, and we're back.
I've been standing here since many years ago. You've been under my skin for as long as I have known. We traveled away and we stand in the rain and the cold. Take the rough with the smooth. If we win or we lose, we just
welcome, welcome, home. Dear listener, to the Same Old Wombles. Thank you very much for tuning in. And today I'm joined as ever by the man with the buttons who might just leave us at any moment if some news drops. It's Dr. Adam Proctor. Hello, Adam. How are you?
Yeah, I'm really good. I remember that game because I obviously stood outside for the whole game, which is the weirdest game of football I've ever been to, where you do not enter the ground, but you stand outside of the stadium. Yeah, that was mad. I'd forgotten.
It was
about
a weird
that,
one, wasn't it? Because it was a week before our season started, so it gave us an opportunity to go there and bang the nail into the coffin.
Yeah, I got photos. Photos, you know, of me and my dad standing outside, and that was a nuts game.
Yeah, and welcome as always, the saviour of football, Monfrere Niall Cooper. Hi, Niall, how you doing?
I do think you slightly overhyped me with being the saviour of football. I mean, you know.
I need to put that music over. Whenever he talks, it should be like that.
You are saving us, Niall. You're saving us.
The saviour of football, Niall Cooper. And finally, the voice of the opposition fan podcast. It's Tall Mark Lewis. Hello, Mark. How are you, my friend?
Help me, everyone. You're my only hope. Good evening. I'm well, actually. Yeah, I've just seen we've delayed the recording of tonight's episode so we could see the League Cup second round draw, which has cheered us all up, I think. So we can talk about that in a bit. But yeah, very relieved after Saturday and a little bit happier that a few more quid in the bank and a few more quid besides to add in for the away draw at Fulham in round two.
Yep. Well, the season has started, my friends, unusually with the League Cup and even more unusually on a Saturday afternoon. And even more unusually, we managed to beat a lower league team, which we don't like doing in the Cups. Yes, just. It was a really pre-season feeling game. Niall, what was your thoughts on it?
Oh my God, that's kind of my thoughts on it. I mean, what a relief.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it was, there is like an impressive, wonderful, brilliant, free-flowing football that glorifies and lifts your spirits in August. And there is a nerve-wracking, like absolutely unstructured, scrape the bottom of the barrel, but we got through kind of football. And I think you may realise that I'm referring to the latter as how we play. You know, I had a conversation with Matt going, like, who is the person who could possibly be our player of the match? And if you were to not mention Bishop, who was by far the only one, I then struggled to think, who could I say actually played well? And my concern with it is that I actually thought that was probably about as good a team as we could field for us. And, you know, I thought that was kind of like, if you looked at that team and they were all on form, that would have been a team that would have been doing all right in a last season. But my God, did we scrape that? I mean, thank you very much, Callum Maycock, for like resurrecting the day. And he did have a bit of energy. Perhaps he would be my player of the match for his 15-minute cameo. But that That's basically it. Oh, I don't know, Mark, if you saw, you've got the same, but that was like...
It was difficult. It was a difficult watch. Mark, you had some other takes on it I thought was quite interesting.
Here's the thing that I think sums it up entirely. Yeah. And because it was a league game, League Cup game, obviously we weren't sitting in our usual season ticket places. You guys were in a slightly different block. I was slightly nearer the halfway line. And I was sitting next to a guy that a lot of people will know from way back at Selhurst, actually, when he used to sell programmes at Selhurst before the whole boycott stuff, a guy called Rob Malin. We all know Rob, and I've known Rob literally for decades. In fact, he was a year below me at school, and he was best mates with some bloke called Chris Perry, you might come across. Yeah. And those two used to knock around as teenagers. Anyway, we're all the same old Wombles, as we know now, to the extent that Rob now has a teenage son. And after about half an hour, this sort of very...
Turgid?
No, I was going to say sad, but actually just very melancholic voice just sort of wafted out from behind me, saying something like, how are we ever going to score a goal this season? He didn't even mean in the game, he meant this season. And that was his son, Billy, who was about 3, I think. And frankly, he was absolutely spot on. Because we had some chances, and, you know, Sasu did his usual 20-minute cameo of being a professional footballer. During that time, he had a couple of efforts on goal. But the rest of the time, unfortunately, he couldn't trap a bag of sand. And then, of course, later on, when Stockley came on, he, sadly for Sasu, Stockley achieved more in the 22 or so minutes he was on the pitch than Sasu did in the 70-plus beforehand. But we did enough, just about.
Tilly was pretty cool, though, from what I could tell.
No, he wasn't.
No, he flicked in a couple on the highlights. Okay, on the highlights, he seemed to...
the highlights, absolutely. Okay. The two things that we could... Sorry, Adam, to jump
no,
in.
No, it's fine.
I don't mean to be entirely rude and jump in on Adam straight away, but actually the reality was, my son pointed this out because he was watching the game. He hadn't seen any preseason games. He hadn't seen Tilly since he came back. Tilly was playing wide right. Obviously, you had Seddon playing wide left. Tilly had a lot of the ball, a lot of the time, certainly first half, he was the main outlet on the right. However, his end product was very poor, was very, very poor. He put
back somehow.
What's going on, Mr. Doctor? Right, James Tilly Mark III. Yes, so James Tilly had about, I'd say, 10 or so opportunities to take his man on. He had a lot of the ball first half, and invariably, and we noticed this quite a lot second half because we were sitting up quite high, he came inside and his fullback was quite happy to shepherd him inside towards the bulk of the Newport players. As a result of that, his end product was not good. When he managed to get a couple of crosses in, Sasu got a chance early doors, which was well saved by the keeper. And other than that, really, there wasn't much going on. When he managed to beat his man on the outside with his right foot, then Tilly looked more dangerous to me, frankly.
He did a lovely little... He did a ball through, didn't he, to Brown, who flicked it back to Maycock, and their keeper jumped on it straight away. But it was a lovely little move, but their keeper was out really quickly to block it. But yeah, I think Noel, you were saying about, you know, again, it didn't look like we had much of an attacking threat on the left. So Seddon was out wide, they were kind of isolated. We weren't able to break people down in the middle of the park. I think we've agreed on this before previously talking about it, is that we're set up to counter attack, and that is that's the way it is, which is why when we play lower division sides, it's harder for us to break them down because they're playing a counter attack, which is why we lost to Wildstone. And it's why we almost lost to Newport County, saved by a brilliant strike from Callum Maycock. And, you know, brilliant performance by Bishop. And I think everyone was saying that in the lead up to this game, what are we looking for? And people were very nervous about our goalkeeping situation. But you have to say, Bishop was, I thought, was outstanding, not just with the penalty saves, which were great, you know. I'm not saying they were the best penalties in the world, but you've got to save them. You've got to guess the right way to go. But he was also out really quickly. He was, you know, he made some really good saves in open play, which kept us in the game. So, and the goal certainly wasn't his fault. I think he played play one of the best performances I've seen him in a Don shirt, which is fantastic. I don't know what you thought, Mark.
It's a curious one with goalkeepers because every other player has played pre-season. Bishop only played 45 minutes of the Coventry game, which was the first pre-season warm-up, which is about a month or so ago. But every other player gets the opportunity to play 20 minutes here, half an hour there, build their minutes up. Goalkeepers don't get that. They usually play one full game or no game at all. And obviously Bishop went straight in. I was surprised to see him. I thought actually McDonald, as I mentioned on previous pods, had done pretty well pre-season. But he went straight in. He seemed quite confident in himself. He got a very, very good connection on the penalty that he saved, so much so he rebounded away out of the penalty area, which is quite impressive in itself. And actually, if you look back at the penalties, all of the penalties in the shootout, he went the right way for 3 out of 5, yeah. I think. But 2 of them were just too hard for him.
Yeah. I know, I thought he played well. But again, the problem, I think, on that game on Saturday was the lack of threat up front is obvious. We're just not able to get in behind people. We desperately, I mean, like, if we had Matty Stevens back, it would have been different. We certainly need another striker. Unfortunately, Sass isn't going to do it. And Hatford, when he came on, I don't know. And again, that means that is a problem. If we get another striker in, then again, you know, what do we do with the likes of Sass and Hatford? Because it would look like we would have 4 strikers. If you've got Stockley and Brown, I would say the 2 people that switch, and then Stevens and another. And then you've got Sass and you've got Hatford. I mean, I just don't see how that can work.
If they're all fit, who's your first choice out of that group?
It's got to be Stevens and Stockley.
Yeah, pretty obvious.
So, but then, how do you drop Brown, who can be exceptional? Do you put him back in?
Brown goes into midfield, doesn't he? I'll put Brown in midfield.
But then, who do you drop out of midfield then, Nye? We've got so many midfield. We've already got 8, and you're putting him in. That's 9.
Well, thinking who stays in midfield. I mean, like at the moment, I mean, none of the centre 3 were any good. Weren't on form, right? They weren't on form on Saturday. So, I mean, with it, I kind of would lean towards starting Maycock. I mean, I love Smith. I think Smith's a good player, but he didn't really do much. Nelson, I'm not completely convinced about, though. I know that. That, you know, Adam seems to have thought, Mark thought he was doing all right. So
here's a question for you. Beginning of last season, who was our midfield 3?
I love that. Surely must be Smith. Would it not be Reeves. Smith, Smith, Reeves and Hippolyte?
Correct.
Yeah.
And nobody was really particularly rating Smith because Smith was playing the in-between role. He wasn't the holding midfield player.
Yeah.
And he wasn't the attacking midfield player.
Yeah.
So, in the new formation that we have, most people have agreed that Jake Reeves being left on the bench is the sensible squad position for him. Therefore, someone's got to play holding midfield, which was Smith. So, you're not going to notice him very much unless someone is actually determining and driving the play forward, which is what the 6 should do if we have enough possession. When you see good teams that we play against that have quality central midfield players like a Savage or Lewis Wing for Reading, for example, then you'll notice them dictating the play from quite deep. We don't really play like that because we have 3 that are all moving around all the time. So, unfortunately, there'll always be something in midfield. Last season it was Smith. This season, at the moment, it looks like it's going to be a Nelson who picks up the pieces, tries to move the ball forwards rather than sideways, tries to get the wing-backs in play. But you don't really notice he does enough of that. Now, the problem we had on Saturday is that Hippolyte was very wide left, but wasn't really getting any change or any interaction with Seddon as a left wing back, as you mentioned already, that we got nothing really going down the left, which meant that there were massive gaps in midfield. There was no one driving through midfield. We weren't playing on the break. We weren't bringing the ball forward. And that is actually why you want Brown in midfield. But you'd only benefit from having Brown in midfield if you've got 2 brick shithouse centre midfielders behind him, winning the ball for him, because he's not going to get track back 25 yards and make a sensible tackle, is he?
Yeah. And again, the other thing that we were missing, and you'll see this brilliant segue coming up here, is sort of like a lack of creativity. So we do have currently at the moment, we did have a very creative player on our board.
Lightest segue, Matt.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it? It's clever. We do have a wonderfully creative player on our books who wasn't in the squad on Saturday and looks like will not be in our squad for the foreseeable. Are we saying goodbye? You're right, Adam. I mean, the fact that all the arrows are pointing in that direction means nothing. But
what is official, though?
Yeah,
they've updated the profiles on the official website. Which is really good because so far the women's team are signing so many players that they only have three officially on the website. But we have a plethora of players, and I did look to see whether Nkeng was actually listed, and he is still listed, was squad number 30. But yeah. as soon as he wasn't involved in the squad on Saturday, I said to my son, you know, there will be rumours now. I have no idea if any of these rumours are true. I actually spoke to one of the media team at half time. Straightforwardly, you know, fan to fan, and said, "So, what's going on with Nkeng?" To which he straightforwardly, without, you know, he wasn't trying to bullshit me or anything. You could see in his face, he said, "I don't know. No one's told me anything."
But it just feels like, hasn't he deleted a lot of his social media accounts?
Exactly. And he started following QPR on Instagram, which in modern terms apparently is a way that that's as akin to I've signed a contract for them.
Yeah, and that's coming, you know, and hey, who knows? But it does sound like, it sounds like 850 grand and add-ons. It was interest from Forest by all accounts. You know, hey, and all these things might fall through. But it feels like but QPR seemed to be the choice because he's got probably a route into first team.
Well, he clearly doesn't run his own Instagram, does he? So his agent has deleted all the Wimbledon Instagram posts and started following the QPR stuff. But... I mean, 850 grand plus add-ons, whatever.
So, yeah,
I mean,
devil's advocate on this one. A, we need the money, but more importantly, he wasn't a regular first-team choice in the squad that we had, in the formation that we had. And I genuinely asked at Meet the Manager last week, and it was intended exactly to get Rise out of Jackson, which it did. I genuinely said, basically, are we going to, you know, fit square pegs in square shapes? As opposed to round holes. In other words, are we going to play the players in the right position? And that was aimed at what we're going to do with Nkeng. And at which point Jackson's answer was, well, we've got two choices at wing back on the left, Nkeng or Seddon, and two choices at wing back on the right, namely Sessegnon and Tilly. And then on Saturday, of course, he brought on Sessegnon for the last 25 minutes or so and played him left wing back. And he clearly showed that he hasn't got much of a left foot to stand on. But yeah, now we're down to three again. Two out of three to be able to actually play. So
we got Jennings. Jennings is a wing back, yeah. I mean,
well, I mean, by no means profess to be the one that pokes and prods the manager into whatever his public reactions are. But the day after I asked him that question, part of his interview that he did, which is a long. Considered interview, and a very sensible interview actually, that was on their website on Wednesday or Thursday or so last week, mentioned that we actually have the ability to play in different formations. Now, obviously, selling Kane, we don't, because we only had two wingers in the first place, which was Kane and Tilly. You're only down to one, and Tilly obviously is playing wing back, so you're reducing your chances and your options. And actually, to play attacking, counter-attacking, creative football, you need someone who can run with the ball. And at the moment, if Nkeng goes, that's Marcus Brown and Marcus Brown and no one else other than Marcus
Brown. Yes, only Marcus Brown can run with the ball at that point. That is the most frustrating thing.
I mean, it is. I mean, but it's quite interesting. Is 850 grand, Nye, is that enough for Nkeng?
See, I'm kind of leaning massively towards no. And I kind of feel that Forest would have offered more because a Premier League playing anyone offers more. And it's... Where I'd have also, I think if QPR were to flog Nkeng, right, and then the most we could expect would be like 4 or 5 million. I think if Nkeng is, you know, because QPR are never going to be that great a club. If Forest were to flog any person who's played a couple of games in the Premier League, then the price of that it becomes like 5 million minimum. So where I kind of feel is that. I think from what the rumour is that Nkeng went because he was going to get more game time at QPR than at Forest. But frankly, is that our concern? Do you know what I mean? So I don't know. I don't think it's enough. I think I would have preferred him to go to Forest. But, you know, ultimately, that's what we might be wrong. He might end up at Forest. He just, you know, he's cancelled an entire Instagram account and he's following QPR's Instagram account. So it kind of looks very much like he's at QPR. But so I don't think 850 grand's enough.
I see your QPR against Forest argument. And I raise you Michael Olise, released from the Chelsea Academy, went to QPR. Had an £8 million release clause, which Palace then, activated. So he signed for Palace in July 2021 from QPR. QPR would have presumably had a sell-on clause in that. He then went straight from Palace, as we know, to Bayern Munich for reported transfer fee of 60 million quid. So I'm not saying by any means that Nkane's in the same kind of class.
60 million?
That is an example. Yeah, that's the way these guys to QPR.
We don't know. And listen, we might not ever know what the situation is. I mean, I still think we're not entirely sure what the situation with Radoni is in terms of sell-ons and what we get if he gets into the Premier League and how many.
Well, we made more money out of Radoni as a sell-on than we made out of the original.
Yeah. So we're not entirely sure what the situation with the Nkeng is. It'll be related to if they go up, then we'll get a load more, and then if it's number of appearances, we get a load more, and yada yada yada, and it's that sort of thing. And then hopefully there will also be a sell on fee. So it's down the road where it benefits us. But in actual fact, we need a bit now. The only thing is, you know, one would hope that we are able to use some of that money to strengthen our squad. That's what we really want. I mean, it might still be that we have to get rid of a couple of players. I think obviously we got a lot of players in midfield. We don't need all of them, and we do need another centre back. We do need another striker, and we do need another wing back as well. If we can need to cover Seddon, so we need at least three players.
At the Meet the Manager, they talked about wanting to get three or four players in, and that was before we signed Stockley.
Yeah.
And then probably one or two going out. And at that point, people were speculating, was it going to be Bishop? Because obviously Bishop wasn't in the team. Was it going to be somebody else?
Yeah.
Couldn't be Stevens, for example, because he's not fit. And actually, Nkeng hadn't gone the radar. But if you hark back a couple of weeks, Matt, I think you tell it yourself. You were surprised that there hadn't really been any transfer buzz about Nkeng.
Yeah,
this probably would explain why he hasn't featured much in pre-season.
Yeah, so there you are. So, you know, I mean, again, there's been a lot of talk around Hippolyte as well, and there was some talk around Brown. I mean, these are just all rumours amongst the fans.
How long is left in the transfer window now? It must be 2 weeks, no?
No. End of all. It goes another 4 weeks.
Three weeks.
I think it's actually Tuesday, the 1st of September, so 3 weeks and a day, you know.
Oh, it's right to the end of August, okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, and it is, and there might be things that come up. It was also interesting on Saturday, we didn't see any of Harrison, did we? So.
No, he was on the bench. I mean, we can give him squad number 5, so I don't imagine he's going to be a peripheral figure. Yeah. We've got another game now in the League Cup. We've also got a couple of Tuesday games coming up. So league season obviously starts this weekend against Huddersfield. And then you're into the first of the pointless trophy games, which is in August. And now obviously we're in the second round of the League Cup, which is probably going to be Thursday, the 27th of August, off the top of my head.
Yeah. And it'll be, like I say, that'll be interesting to see. I mean, that's great. I mean, a trip to Fulham, our nearest neighbours, I wouldn't be surprised if we bring a truckload of fans with us.
I think that'll be a load of us.
Great. I love the idea of that.
Yeah, I think there'll be quite a few of us there. So that'll be great. And whether they're going to be able to, whether they want to put out a strong side, I don't know, because they'll have played Chelsea on the Monday. The game will be on the Thursday, we think. And then they'll be playing again on the Sunday.
I think we've got a good chance in that game.
Is the kind of team that should bother with the League Cup because they could do quite well in it, but don't necessarily tend to. Equally, they've just been taken over by Arbeloa, a very, very experienced manager. Sorry, very, very experienced player, very inexperienced manager, who obviously was with Real Madrid as a player, was there as a manager for a short period of time. Does he really know what the League Cup's all about? I'd be very surprised if he didn't end up playing 7 or 8 squad players.
Yeah, I'd be very surprised. I mean, I'd have thought it would be, you'd have your better players on the bench just in case. But yeah, I think it's, you know, it's something to go for. And yet again, that's how we're set up. We're set up to play on the counter. They'll have to come at us, yeah, exactly. Which is going to be interesting.
But for anyone who's saying, and I see Niall's frustrated face, about 850k not being so much. You know, we're old enough to remember the likes of Terry Boyle and Steve Gallias being sold. And I remember genuinely crying when Steve Gallias was sold. I was probably about 10, 11 or something at the time. But that was the Wimbledon then who needed the money. And generally speaking, we've always needed the money, so to speak.
We need the money now.
I think the thing which is going to be frustrating, and this is where you get the whole flipping fans who want to sell up again story, which is just so annoying. Is that whole, we're probably not going to be able to use all the money for players, and why shouldn't we? But the big issue that has come out is that, you know, we desperately need more people to buy bonds. That is the big thing.
We need people who said they're going to buy bonds to actually buy them. That is the big thing. People have expressed they will buy them, yet they haven't.
Yeah.
So that's the issue.
That's the issue that we've got, is that people haven't bought the bonds yet. And, you know, initially we were looking at £3 million worth of bonds. I think it's probably up about 400 to 500,000 now.
353, I've just checked.
Oh, 353. Is there a check? Is there a thing?
Ploughlanebond.com.
You
can check and see what it is. Oh, blimey. Okay. There you are. So we need another million and more.
Interesting is obviously some of that in King money will go towards that 1.7. The actual reality, which very candidly Mick has outlined with the latest podcast that he did with Aaron Paul the other day, is that naturally enough, the club and the Don Sos were balancing up where they'd be with regards to bonds and what repayment the club would have to factor in. And they agreed between them they wouldn't have to factor in anything because they believe they would get that 1.7 million.
Yeah. So the Mick Buckley, great podcast with Aaron Paul. And it was saying that the budget set for the club, for the squad, that was all fine and cleared because we wouldn't have to, the club wouldn't have to pay any money back into the bonds.
And I think the other thing to mention in this regard is that the club is obviously has put out an expression of interest. We've got a load of bonds coming in, right? But those bonds coming in is not about us going bust. They were just what we asked for. And it looked like it was really exciting because £3 million worth of bonds were expressed. That doesn't mean we're in massive danger. We can still do our payments. We can still do the things we're working on. But we were expecting more money to come in via bonds. So I think that is something to bear in mind. That as much as it's annoying, because these people have expressed they're going to spend all this, they're going to donate, stroke, get this money back via bonds. But that wasn't expected. That was just the next round.
It's the next round.
We're not backing on that money to keep us afloat.
No, that's yes, you're right there. I mean, because bonds aren't, you know, it's not secured, so it's not like, you know, if we don't repay them, there's no penalty to the club necessarily. But the important thing is that we put the club budget, the team budget was set with the idea that we wouldn't have to use any money from sales to go towards that 1.7 million, which is what the deficit is. So that's what we have to cover. So if we have to put the NKang money towards that, that means that we're not able to get people in. And, you know, and the hope would be that you could use some of that money, not all of it, but some of it towards getting in a player like, you know, I was hearing Kanu from Charlton, for instance, or paying towards somebody else's, somebody coming in as a, you know, those.
No,
two
I get that,
players.
But one, we shouldn't be basing our budget on money that doesn't exist. Which
that's
is
what
the
that but that's
promise
what
of budgets, you
but
know,
that's what
and
that's
so,
what we've done.
Well, we shouldn't have done that.
Talking of not basing money on things that don't exist, just been back and checked out how we got on the League Cup since we came back into the league. Very first game, very first season back in the league, in that preliminary round, we lost to Crawley. So that was 11-12. 2012-13, we lost in the first round. 2014-15, lost in the first round. 15-16, first round. 16-17, first round. 17-18, first round. At this point, I think there was an ongoing
first
joke.
Round, first round.
There was a second round of the League Cup. We made it to the second round of the League Cup in 2018-19. 19-20, lost in the first round. 20-21, lost in the first round. The point of all these is that, and this is an Eric Samuelson financial calculation, we
made
a budget for actually gaining any football fortune from cup competitions.
So that's the thing. So we have, I mean, I don't know how much we get from going through to the next round. And if so it's not.
But it's obviously vacancies as well. And that was the other interesting thing that somebody asked me to check out with regards to attendances. You know, was our attendance higher or lower than we'd had in previous rounds overall? And now, of course, I can't find it. Oh, it's okay. There we go. So home attendances since the last 10 years or so. Brentford at Kings Meadow, first round, lost 3-1, 3,229. West Ham lost 3-1, 3,962. That was 2016-17, 2017-18. 2019-20, lost on penalties to some team from Buckinghamshire, 2,091.
What about when we got to Plough Lane? Because I know, mate, you are getting there. That is very true.
First League Cup tie, Plough Lane, Gillingham, lost 2-0, 3,008. 23-24 beat Coventry, 4,781. Two goals to the right at the end. Ryan McLean's finest hour. 24-25 is the high note when we beat Ipswich on penalties. Owen Goodman saved those penalties. Two beautiful headers there, one by Mate Stevens. 7,934.
But what round was that? That wasn't the first round.
That was the second.
Yeah.
So and then obviously at the weekend, 3,393. So not amazing and lower than some of the preseason games. But equally, you would imagine that Fulham will set their prices relatively competitively to try and get people out on a Thursday night. So that won't get huge amounts in. But if you, I don't know what the cut is. I think it's 45% each and then 10% to the Football League or something. So 45% at 25,000 is still better than a slap in the face of the referee.
Yeah. And all, I mean, like, you know, the thing is, Football Fortune hasn't got through. I don't know when the deadline is for. When's the deadline, Mark, for the bonds, for the third, for the next round of the bonds? Is there
I don't think there is a deadline.
But we do need that money in sooner rather than later. I know that is one thing Mick was saying. So if you can, if you're listening to us and you can afford it, put that £1 million in, all right? Whoever you are. I know we've got some incredibly rich listeners, yeah. Anyhow, it's interesting.
One final thing on the Newport game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If we remember the last time we played Newport in the league, we were 2-0 up and managed to blow a 2-0 lead.
Just awful.
Which everybody blamed on Adam's favourite right back. Who was your favourite right back, Adam?
I have no idea anymore.
The Turkish Hector Bellerin?
Hasbella
was blamed for it, but actually, if you look at all the replays and someone else put it back on social media again, it was the same referee on Saturday.
And the player dived.
Apparently it was a penalty. In fact, I thought it was actually the first thing that Stockley did.
Yeah, my dad said it was.
In the previous game.
Oh yeah, that player died.
Yeah.
But also, there was a Stonewall penalty on Saturday with a few minutes left.
Yeah,
shot that was hammered at someone, and the guy just half followed it away. But anyway, we got away with it.
We did. We got away with it.
You asked me to remember an ex-player that I loved.
I know. who was an ex-player you loved who wasn't Omar Bugle? That's where the problem is.
Well, yeah, quote of the weekend. Let's read this one out from social media as well. Talking about, because I want everyone's take on Jaden Stockley, but the quote of the weekend I read from one of the websites, which now, of course, I can't find. Basically,
don't upset Adam.
I'm afraid it will upset Adam, because it basically says, very straightforwardly, that Jaden Stockley, even in the 20 minutes that we saw him, Jaden Stockley is, of course, a better version of Omar Boo.
We shall quote, see.
Unquote. I mean, it's interesting. Yeah. It's interesting. Nye, what did you think? Because for me, I didn't think he stood out particularly. There was nothing in it I looked and thought, he's won that header more. I mean, and I thought there were other times where, when they were playing out, I know that Bugle would be, you know, running to try and to get the player.
You know, you won a couple of headers. And he, you know, was just kind of getting into it. But it's just like the whole team wasn't playing the way we'd want Stockley to play, right? So there wasn't balls coming in to Stockley to hold the ball up. He did do a bit of that and he did head the ball a couple of times. But it's like, you know, I didn't see it. And there wasn't the energy in midfield that would have allowed somebody to play off Stockley. It could have been also that it was really hot. But like,
they had hydration bakes, for goodness sake.
And he put his penalty away, and I think that was one of Bugle's issues. But he definitely put his penalty away neatly. So you know that was.
I like that little bit of cynicism there.
Yeah, but what did you think, Mark? You know, because you were of the opinion that he did more. I mean, I personally didn't see it, but that's just because I wasn't reading the game as well as other people do.
I mean, at the end of the day, like everybody else, I was frustrated by Sassi. If you're playing up front, whatever else you have to do, even if you don't have any shots on target, you need to control the ball and bring the rest of your team into play. Or you need to be such a complete nuisance that there'll be spaces elsewhere. In the short period of time that Stockley was on the field, did he have any shots on target or heads on target? Not as far as I'm aware. However, it was clear that the Newport coach had told his defenders, and he brought on a couple of big centre backs to try and see the game out, just hammer Stockley. And on occasions there were two or three players going on. In fact, the goal for Maycock came genuinely when Seddon got one of his few and far between decent balls in from the left. It went across the area. Stockley went towards the middle of the area, as did most of their defenders. Oggs actually got up and managed to get a flick back and left Maycock in a load of space to be able to volley the ball in.
Yeah.
So actually, that is the point. If Stockley or whoever we got playing up front is taking players away, there'll be some space. We know that Stevens is really good at that. Seen some stuff again on social media from his dad. You would hope that's as kosher as it can get, saying that Stevens is about 4 or 5 weeks away from playing, not from training, but from playing. So hopefully then by mid-September, late September, he'll be back on the field.
I'll be surprised if he's back early, but okay.
I agree with you entirely, especially considering.
Regardless of that, we need another striker. We need someone who can. And so it does leave that question about what happens to Hackford and Sass, I think, is a big thing. And then, you know, across the midfield, what happens to all of those players? McCoy Splatt, I heard, had a good preseason, didn't feature. What happens to Reeves? Is he going to be let go? What happens to Jennings? Does he go back on loan? You know, like there's so many midfielders. What do we do with that?
I think you rotate them. Certainly for the first period of the season, when you've got these midweek games, including one in the Pizza Trophy, you put, you know, the likes of Jennings and Reeves and possibly even Harrison in as your midfield.
Oh God, Harrison! I mean, there are just so many of them now.
Exactly.
We've got a team of midfielders.
I was going to say, you either rotate them or you put them in other positions.
Yeah, that's like, right. They're all going to play.
Now you're a defender. Sorry, yeah. Now you're a wing back.
You're a wing back. You're a wing back. You're a wing back.
Oh, I'm a wing back. Where I'm at is, I'm actually, this is the Joe, whatever his name was, from Chelsea last year. I'm intrigued to see what Harris is like, whether he is that kind of skillful, whether he's going to be a bit more creative or whatever, a bit more interesting in midfield. That would be interesting. We could do with something a little bit different, because it just feels like...
Brody Hughes.
That's the man I'm thinking of.
Brody Hughes.
We have to win the ball in midfield. Whoever's playing in there, whichever combination of the eight and nine.
Hold the ball up.
Well, we can't hold the ball up unless you win it in the first place. You've got to win the ball.
No, exactly. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Just hold it in midfield.
Yeah. You've got to pass and move, but do it at the right time. Yeah.
You can be slow or fast, Matt.
But you've got to get to the line. That's not. They'll always hit you and hurt you.
Yeah, but if you get around the back, Matt.
Yeah. Well, defend and attack.
Topical references.
Oh, dear me. Anyhow, listen. We've kind of moved backwards and forwards. This is our way, people. We're always like, we're like this. It's like a pub conversation. But we've got to really look at the season ahead and where we're set up. So what we do know is this. Primarily, despite what JJ is saying to you, Mark, primarily we're going to be set up 3-5-2. We know this. And primarily we're going to be set up to counter-attack. We know this as well. And we know we've got a lot of players in midfield. We're lacking in defence and we're lacking up front. It's the anti-donut is what we've got. A lot of jam, not much dough. So, you know, and with everything going on, can I ask to you all, what is an acceptable position for us to finish in?
Man, I can't answer this question. You know that.
Acceptable. I can see. You can say in the bottom half, the mid, top, whatever. What is it?
Can I go back and rewind because I listened back this afternoon to what you all said this time last season.
Yeah. I'm going to be very careful what I say.
Good grief! What did I say?
So in the preseason preview episode for last season, which unfortunately, if I don't remember why, Adam wasn't even on the episode, so Adam said nothing.
Hey, excellent.
Yeah, you got away with one there.
Top goal scorers.
It didn't happen.
Niall and Matt both said Josh Kelly. Although apparently, according to Matt, Josh Kelly was going to have 5 goals and still be top scorer.
Yeah. Nice.
And breakthrough players, I had Jennings, and that didn't happen. Matt had Josh Kelly again.
Yeah.
And Niall had Miles Hippolyte. But the only person that put his neck out on the line and said, in terms of league positions, was me.
Yeah,
we finished 20th. And I was bang on.
Yeah.
So I will put it out there again, especially as I've heard the Not the Top 20 podcast this afternoon, which is the first and the only podcast I've seen online anywhere. But it's very erudite and it's very detailed. It's got lots of information in there and it's free to download. So check it out on socials, where George Ellick and the other guy whose name escapes me right now, have gone through all the different divisions, and they have come up with the bottom four in, I can't remember the exact order, but the bottom four in League One being Burton Albion and Peterborough and Barnsley and not AFC Wimbledon.
Barnsley?
Yeah.
And Peterborough, I do not believe, I just don't think, what's his name, Darren McCantney or whatever, I don't think he would allow that to happen.
Who knows? Peterborough hadn't got a goal scorer. Peterborough had a goal scorer and loan losses. None of those teams have got goal scorers. That's the interesting thing, I believe. Burton have just lost their main goal scorer to Bradford, I believe. But anyway, they had his finishing 20th. I'm going with 20th again.
Wow. I mean, I think the thing is you want to improve. You want to improve on the position you're in. But I would suggest...
You're saying we'll be 20th again, Mark? Is that really?
Where do you think, Adam?
Are you saying that that's negative, Adam?
Yeah, that's so negative. I think we'll do better.
Yeah.
Than that. Oh, yeah. You weren't
at the game on Saturday, were you?
No, but that doesn't count because it was a cup game. It's like whatever.
I refer to the answer I just gave.
No, we got a super short. Okay, we got a super small squad, right?
We've got a huge squad full of midfielders.
Yeah, okay, we've got a big squad full of the wrong type of players, which is fine.
All the right players, not necessarily in the right order.
No, exactly. No, I don't know. I don't think we're going to be in the playoffs, obviously. I don't think we're going to be in the automatics, obviously. I think we're safe in mid-15 or something, 15th.
That's a good... That's good. I'm not, Niall, I've known that you and I won't answer this question, but 20th or 15th, I think I would take either of those.
What's wrong with you?
Oh, because it's a football gods. Football gods. Yeah, you know what I mean? They'll look at it and they'll go, oh, I don't think so, mate. I think it's going to be a really challenging. I would argue that this league is stronger than it was last season. And that's not just about the people that have come down, because, you know, you've got Leicester, who are down primarily because they got points deducted. You've got Sheffield Wednesday, who are going to be rebuilding. Then you've got sides who've come up from the division below who are going to be putting money in. So I think it's going to be...
Find 12 players. Is that really any kind of sensible...
No, it's not a cohesive squad? I'm not talking about them, unfortunately. I think there are other sides who've come up who are going to be putting loads of money in. So I think it's going to be really difficult. I think again, sides like Bradford, Stockport, all these sides are going to be put. There's going to be a lot of money. So I think there's a lot of money. I think it's a lot more competitive now.
I still think there'll be eight or ten maximum that are competitive, and there will be three or four out of our eight or ten. That expect to be like your Lutons and your Leicesters.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Luton up there. Huddersfield.
Come Huddersfield as well. If they're not in the top three come November, December time, there's going to be some itchy chairman pulling a few triggers there to get rid of those players, get rid of those managers, just like Huddersfield did last year. And we'll play them at the right time and we'll just pick up the right points.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I think the top, like, there's a bunch of clubs that are going to be going mad for promotion playoffs. We're not going to be in that mix, but I think below that, it's a bit of a red. You know, everyone's going to be all over the show, so I think
it's going to be difficult. I mean, I like the fact we've got some consistency. We've got the bulk of our side is there, but we need to shed some players. That has to happen, and we need to bring in at least two players who are going to compete in the team at centre back and up front. And we need at least cover for Seddon on the left. So that's what's going to have to happen. It's going to be tough. Hopefully, Niall, it will be a long, fun season.
Well, if it beats Fulham, that would be quite cool.
Well, you know, I think Fulham gives everyone a lift. I think. Do you know what? This is the interesting. Let's try and be positive here. So I think the thing that gives us a lift is we won on Saturday. Bishop played well. He kept us in it. So that is a really positive thing. And we've got an away trip to Fulham to look forward to, which is fantastic. So I think, you know, those sort of things gives everyone a bit of a lift.
And just to bring you all down again, I've decided to stupidly go to Huddersfield.
That is fantastic. So anyhow, I think this is where we are. It's going to be interesting to see what happens over the next few days. Obviously, we're going to be out of date by tomorrow, but we did delay the thing so we could give you the exclusive that you all know that we're playing Fulham.
The other thing to quickly update on relating to the Fulham game is because Chelsea and Fulham were playing on that Monday, the 24th, that means we probably have to play on Thursday, the 27th, as did Chelsea against Luton. At the moment, we're supposed to be playing Wigan at home on Saturday the 29th. Luton is supposed to be playing Mansfield away on Saturday the 29th. Those two will have to shift back a day, I imagine.
Yep, I'd have thought Sunday so.
The 30th. And then there's a full fixture of League One games midweek, first week of September. So we're supposed to be playing Burton on the Tuesday night. Again, that'll have to shift back. So I guess we'll be playing Burton away on the Wednesday, which is the 2nd.
Yep.
So just because the stupid Premier League people and the Sky people decided that one game out of all the Premier League games, namely Fulham-Chelsea, had to be on that Monday, and they could have chosen any of the other games. That has inconvenienced loads of other lower league clubs, which, of course, as we know, they don't give a fuck about.
Yeah, we don't count. Yeah, exactly. I guess I guess we alluded to it earlier on. The other thing to quickly pick up on again is the women's team seem to have been, like, they're getting players left, right and centre. And I'm hearing some really good things about our new manager as well. So that is going to be exciting to see how we start to do there. And I know that, Adam, you've got a season ticket for the women's team as well this season.
I have, yes. Yeah, upgrade. I got the upgrade. So it's like £55 to boost your men's season ticket to include the women's season ticket. So I bought it. I don't know how many games I can get to, but I don't care.
This weekend, this weekend's first game of the season at home at Tooting Richmond Ground, 16th of August, Sunday afternoon.
And we've got, we brought in a couple of players today from Loughborough Lightning, who play in the equivalent tier of us, but in the northern section. So that'll be interesting. Hannah Plum and Ella May Coots. So welcome to the Wimbledon family.
And watch the space. We may well have Seymour Wombs exclusive relating to the women's team, but I'm working on that one.
Okay, there you are.
We're so exclusive that none of my three other co-hosts know anything
about. We don't even know about this exclusive.
With that exclusive. That's how exclusive it is. Anyhow, onwards and upwards, the start of the league starts officially this weekend. I mean, the game against Huddersfield, one me and Niall went to last season. You're going to it this week, and it was a great fixture for real. Brilliant game. And it's amazing. I really like the ground. It's very nice. So that was really. It's a very pleasant place to get to, the ground wise.
One great story I have to tell at this point, which I may have told in pod before, is that the one and only time that my wife went to Huddersfield away before, she was on the train with various other reprobates. I wasn't there, I was away overseas in Germany, and she got a bit pissed off. It was the first ever away game. She had no idea where she was. She was wandering around blind drunk in Huddersfield, thinking she would be able to find the stadium because it's easy because you look for the floodlights. Of course, the Huddersfield ground is in a dip, so you can't actually see it if you walk around. At which point, this car beeped her as she was trying to cross the road, which was, of course, her cousin, because she's got relatives that live in Huddersfield, who we're going to see at the weekend. He said, "What on earth are you doing here? This is ridiculous. Why didn't you tell us you were coming?" And she barely managed to register because she was quite drunk. Got left of the game. I asked her tonight, doesn't even remember what the score was. But she had a good day.
See, this is the way it is. I love it. Anyhow, chaps, that's a great way to end our show. Thank you very much, Dr. Adam Proctor, the saviour of football, Niall Cooper, the voice of the opposition fan cast, Mark Lewis. I'm Matt Cooper. We collectively are the same old Wombles. We're back.
I've been standing here since many years ago. You've been under my skin for as long as I have known. We traveled away and we stand in the rain and the cold. Take the rough with the smooth if we win or we